Hey everyone, welcome to Radio MLS. I'm your host Sean Maslin, and I am of course joined by my faithful co-host, the author, the writer, the podcast producer, the human highlight reel, Mr. Matt Hoffman. Matt, there were enough Chivas USA and Portland Timbers players in that Open Cup final last night to make a full squad. Did you have like any like moments of like just remembering fond moments of yesterday?
It was a good match. It was a good match. I don't think the scoreline was very indicative. I mean, that was an emphatic performance by Dallas. So good to see them win. Congratulations to Dallas.
Everything went wrong for the Revolution. They got two injuries in the first half.
They got a goal right off the bat, though.
They got a goal right off the bat, so there is that. But two injuries in 90-degree heat in the first half, and not it being down to one sub, that's a killer.
Yeah. It's really funny about New England is that if they're doing well, there's this portion of the fan base is like, see, Jay Heaps knows what he's doing, leave him alone. And then as soon as things start going bad, that other half goes in there, and they're like, see, this is what we need to get rid of Heaps. He's a basketball guy. He doesn't know what he's doing.
Well, do you think that's indicative of every culture? I mean, in D.C., I can tell you, for example, the Ben Olsen gravy train, it's either you're either completely on it or you're off it. I know the same thing happened with Red Bulls a little bit with Petke. Mm-hmm. And, I mean, we've seen it just in other instances. I don't know if it's ever happened with the Timbers. I don't think that they've had a coach that played with them. But I think that's part of the maturation process, though, right? Because, like, we're no longer just these little humble mom-and-pop shops. We're actually, like, trying to be a little bit more objective in our analysis.
Well, I know people were pretty hostile to Gavin Wilkinson a few years ago when he took over for John Spencer. But I think that was more for the way that happened. I don't think that they were necessarily upset about the managing them. That was in 2012, and they weren't having a very good season that year. I don't know. It's hard to say because there are people who there's going to be always a minority that complains when you're winning. There's always going to be a minority that cheers when you're losing. It's difficult to say.
Yeah, that's kind of the problem with gauging the internet in terms of understanding how people feel, because it does feel like at times it's just a real minority percentage that are like kind of swaying.
Yeah, I mean, that's the problem with Twitter. Generally tend to see people on Twitter that you follow tend to be the people you kind of agree with. I mean, even if you try to go out of your way to kind of get people with different opinions, you still kind of see the people who have the opinions that you have. So you're really missing out on what's going on outside of your own little universe. And that's kind of a problem as we become more and more socially adept these days.
Well, you know, what are you saying? Like, basically what happened last night where the U.S. Open Cup game got delayed a little bit and put on like ESPN News, and people are like, this is the end of soccer in this country. We're all gonna, we're back in the Stone Age here. And it's like, all you need to do is go to ESPN3, go to ESPN News. I know it's a sports center, but that's okay. Actually, I tweeted something out. There was some person who was like, well, you know, you think that they could get a web content editor to change this. And it's like, that doesn't help the situation, snarky man. Let's all be friends here.
Look, I mean, there are a lot of sports to be played. And, you know, it's great because how long was it that this game wasn't even televised? Period.
You know, it was interesting. Somebody on Twitter last night actually claimed that the 1996 final was actually on television. And, I mean, I'm pretty sure it wasn't. Because people are like, in D.C., they're like, oh, you know, we won the Open Cup. But it's like, yeah, but you never saw it. Like, I don't know. I agree with you. Like, it seems like we're always kind of cynical and a little bit skeptical in this country about, like, every major move that happens in soccer. And, you know, it takes away from the game. And the game was great.
Yes, it was a great game.
Like you were saying.
I mean, it makes sense. I mean, soccer is on the bottom of the sports pyramid right now. I mean, it's not, I guess the bottom would be like, you know, well, okay, there's some stuff out there that's below that, like Quidditch,
Yeah.
However, it's made major tracks, but compared to other sports, like for instance the NFL, Major League Baseball, NHL,
kickboxing,
sport of future, and then also abroad, soccer is huge, or football as they call it, in most of the countries in the world. So we're behind there. I mean, we think of top league soccer, we think of the Bundesliga, the Premiership, Serie A, Ligue 1.
By the way, whenever I hear lagoon, I want to hear the word legumes.
Yeah, beans, man.
The TV thing's interesting. I mean, it got 175,000 people watching it last night, which I think is personally pretty good.
Yeah, absolutely,
considering how terrible
on a Tuesday
the coverage
night,
has been. Yeah, like at 10 o'clock at night on the East Coast, which
Taylor
is
Twellman and was it Adrian Healy calling it with him? So, I mean, they got ESPN brought their, who are very good commentators. I will take umbrage with Mr. Twellman for his comment that Maxi Rudy doesn't show up in big games.
Boy, didn't he get scolded about that after with the great goal, yes, like 5 minutes afterwards.
It was a very interesting comment, though, because how could you say that after, how he delivered in like the 119th minute of the knockout round last year? I mean, that's about he didn't score an MLS Cup game, but I mean, they would not have gotten there without a Rudy. So perhaps just because I was there, I was witness to it. That was about as big a game I've ever seen anyone score in. So, okay, perhaps I'm biased and perhaps, my sample size is very small, but I thought that was a very unusual comment.
I don't watch him as much as you do, but I watched him last night. The thing that was interesting to me is he makes excellent, excellent runs.
Yes.
And he really is able to find his space between either the center back and the left or right back, or just splitting the two center backs. The one thing that I noticed is that his first touch is not always the best. He had one that was a long ball into the box, and there was nobody around mm-hmm. him. And he didn't really come down with it quite well. Mm-hmm. So when he framed his shot, it wasn't, he wasn't able to come up with something great. But those are, I mean, this for a level of MLS, that's not like the worst thing. Like, we're not going to find world-class striker. Sorry, we don't have the money.
It's an interesting criticism, I think, of a soccer player, because it's not like basketball, where there's only 10 players on the court at a time, a relatively small court, and you have 24 seconds to get the shot off. I mean, for a player to disappear during there, yeah, that makes sense. But in soccer, you have 22 players and one ball, and so much of what he does is contingent on someone getting him the ball and getting service to him. So to say he disappears feels a bit disingenuous, and it's not like Twellman wasn't a striker. So I'm surprised, but also it's just because I just have a very high opinion of Taylor Twellman. I think he's a fantastic commentator. I thought he was a fantastic player back in the day. So that sort of thing there kind of feels more like clickbait. Can we also talk about his thing that Carlos Ruiz is coming?
Yes! The immortal Carlos Ruiz, who, by the way, did not play with Chivas USA, which I find to be personally shocking. Yes. So, rosters freeze tomorrow, I believe, which means players who are either out of contract or in wacky countries can be able to sign with MLS sides. And he broke it, I guess, that Carlos Ruiz was there and he was going to sign a contract. And good, but I don't see what he does that Blas Perez did previously.
I don't see how he helps the team at all. I don't see how he helps.
He doesn't.
I mean, maybe he's there like on a coaching or maybe even like as a mentor to like the young players. But as a player, which is how I understood him to say it, I don't see how it helps. And Dallas is just too smart to make that sort of investment. So, Taylor has said things that have come true and he's usually pretty connected. So I can't imagine he'd say that if he didn't have good reason to say it, but it boggles the mind.
It's very interesting. I don't know. So, where does he fit on this team? And that's my biggest question. Who are you going to bench? And I have a feeling that means less time for Teshuacandele, because that would be his the biggest person that we would be able to take over for.
Would you bench him for a 37-year-old?
I wouldn't, but this seems to be the case. Look, you know, the other thing is that now at this point, if you're FC Dallas, I mean, winning the Open Cup means, I think it kind of means you're playing with house money in terms of the season, because you're still in your window. You won your title, your first title in 19 years. You're going to be back in the not the CCL, this SCCL, as we're all learning. You better not say no to Scotiabank on that one. And you are going to be, you're going to have a really good chance at a supporter shield. Does he get you the treble? I don't think he does.
Well,
and
Dallas has something that a lot of other teams don't have, which is crazy salary cap space, because they've managed their roster so well. They could give a $100,000 contract to a pigeon, and it wouldn't really affect them.
Mm-hmm. And that's good. I will say, like, I've watched...
That's a lot of birds.
This is true. That is a lot of seed that you can be able to plant there, friends. I've watched them a little bit with Guatemala, and so the best way to explain it is he's inside the 18-yard box. He's fantastic. He'll find his shot. He required, especially during maybe not this set of qualifiers, but the previous ones, Marco Papa really had to do a lot of work for him to be able to get him his space. And perhaps if you're looking for like Amaro Diaz to basically just do all the work for him and just set him up to tee home his shot, then that's not a bad deal. But do you really want to waste a player spot on that? I don't think so. And
I can see, like, him coming as like a coach, because there is something that he has a lot of players don't have, which is just that he is...
the ability to dive on, like, command?
That wasn't where I was going, actually. He's cutthroat. He's that guy, he'll do anything to win. If that means flopping, yeah, he'll do it. He's ruthless. And maybe that's something that they feel that this team is lacking. They've got a lot of young talent, but, you know, there's one thing to be good, and there's another thing to be like, I want to destroy and humiliate my opponents, and I want to win everything. You know, maybe that's what they have in mind. I still don't see it. I can make that argument. I don't think it's a good argument, but I can make it.
Yeah, I think that he's, I mean, first off, I think he still has something to bring in terms of, like, playing somewhere. I just don't know if it's for, like, a Western Conference title contender. Yeah. And I don't know. I saw the man play in D.C., it had to be about 4 years ago at this point, and at that point, I thought he was washed up, and here he is. This is his fourth. He and Rafa Márquez will never retire. Speaking of people that have never retired, he has come back.
Yeah, Landon Donovan came back, and it was kind of underwhelming. I mean, good to see him.
Yeah.
He looked good. He had two passes in 8 minutes. Good job.
He ran around a bit. He got properly sweating, you know.
It is a sad commentary when you have. I've always kind of thought that the Los Dos was kind of like one of the best teams in USL. They have one of the best youth academies. They have so much talent to draw off in Southern California. As much as I like Landon as a player, and especially like as much as I like him as a person, I'm kind of surprised that there was no one else that the team could turn to in their youth setup.
Yeah, me too. I don't really know what this does. Again, we're going back to I get what it does. Puts butts in seats, gives them another veteran presence. In theory, I think it makes them one of the title, probably one of the top two or three contenders for the MLS Cup, which would be, hopefully they don't give him the Landon Donovan MVP award. That would just be kind of confusing and frankly a little bit weird. I will say this though, that team looked fantastic before he came on the pitch on Sunday night. Mm-hmm. They were clicking on levels that I haven't seen since when they had Beckham, yeah. Donovan, and Keane together, and Zardes as kind of like the fourth amigo.
Yeah.
The ability to their passing, their understanding mm-hmm. of where each were operating, yeah. it was just extraordinary. Yeah. And they really did a number on Orlando, and I think yeah. that might be the digging of the grave, so to speak, or in Orlando, because looking at how New England and DC have been playing recently, I don't know if they can keep up because just of all the turmoil.
So I would say this. So one thing I thought was kind of interesting is that, you know, Landon Donovan came in and he's wearing number 26, not his number 10. The reason it's number 10 is because his number 10 is being played by Gione Dos Santos, who has been sublime as of late. He was the player of the week this week, rightfully so. He turned in a fantastic performance. He's turned in a lot of fantastic performances. When he came over at first, it seemed that there was some overlap to his, you know, position on the field and his skill set with Keane. They kind of worked it out. He's, you know, I think there's some talk that with Giovinco's injury, that opens the windows. I know soccer by Ivan Scholarship said this, that that's opening the window for Dos Santos to get a look at get some MVP votes, which would be, you know, phenomenal. Can you consider this guy's never really had much of a club career, but he's been fantastic. He's been blime, and it's kind of interesting that Landon comes back and the guy who's wearing his old uniform, it's now his team, and that guy is, you know, not an American, not the American, the best American player ever made. It's one of, you know, it's a very good Mexican player. And it's just, there's a lot of, I find a lot of interesting, like, narratives about this.
Yeah, I think it's interesting too. I think that it's kind of a recognition from Donovan that, you know, he's kind of stepping into an already situation that is already put together, and he has to just be a cog or a spoke in the wheel. And credit to him for all this. He's never really come across as somebody particularly arrogant. MLS has probably pumped him up to be, you know, between Mahatma Gandhi and Lionel Messi, somewhere in between those two. But he's always had a pretty even keel attitude towards things. I think that Dos Santos is the bigger star here because he's somebody who is in the prime of his career, who is only being kept out of the Mexican national team because of some bizarre reason by their coach. And you're in a very heavily Latino market. It makes sense for him to be the centerpiece. And, you know, he's the guy that's going to probably be there for another 4 to 5 years. And I don't know. I totally get it. I think it's a good move by Landon. You know, we kind of poke fun at Landon a little bit here and there. But I think that this is one time where he's kind of shown himself to be a pro and be like, all right, number's yours. I'll just take whatever number. We'll have a good time. See you later.
Oh, he's incredibly selfless.
Yeah. It's never him that people criticize. It's the machine. And the machine, it's just because it can be a tad like, okay, guys, just a little much here. We like Landon, too.
Yeah.
But any other games this weekend, Matt, that really kind of caught your fancy?
This past weekend?
Yeah, we'll go with this past weekend.
Well, you know, Toronto.
Unless you can prognosticate to the future.
Well, there are some matches I'm looking forward to this weekend. But, yeah, Toronto. They're playing so well. I mean, Giovinco's out there. Yes, okay, yes, it was Chicago. But it was a road win. They've won three games on the road, three consecutive games on the road. They're playing at such a high level. The hope is that Giovinco comes back soon, that he's able to, you know, kind of find a stride in the playoffs. And, you know, the top seed in the East is still there for grabs. It's between them and NYCFC, which, you know, who'd have thought that? I mean, I think we all thought Toronto's going to be good this year. The fact that Josie Altidore has come back to play so well. And then, you know, I think any team's better for having Will Johnson on it. But I've always said that, so take that for what it's worth. But they're playing at such a high level.
Was that a slight against Canada for, like, dropping him out of the World Cup spot?
You know, it wasn't, but sure it was.
Their manager just got fired today too because of this. So, well, Will's probably like laughing at his poutine.
I'm curious to see where Montreal goes, because they're fighting, they're scrapping. They came back. That was a good goal to draw even with Philadelphia, and Philadelphia's in a rough patch. So they've got a game against in Portland this week. See how that goes.
I'm very curious how the three Canadian sides are going to turn out, because I think that we have a chance to see a few. I think we might have a chance finally to see not only a Canadian team win a title, but also maybe win the title. Mm-hmm. Toronto has been very, very effective, and they've turned themselves into just to be a monster at home. Montreal has their warts, but that's not a team I would necessarily want to play in the playoffs. Yep. Just because in a short series, you would imagine that they'll be able to ratchet their defense up a little bit. And we've talked about it many times. Piatti is
amazing.
Quite a player.
And then, gosh, I'm sorry, Sean, I'm going to butcher his name. I think it's like Matteo Metsako. I'm sorry.
Is it like Mancuso or something like that?
He came over and you know he found a goal. He played 90 minutes. He might be finding his form too. So this team, like I think, yeah, they're kind of having some hiccups here. But I think when they put it together, they can be as good as any other team in Major League Soccer. They can be compact, but they can also break out and there's a lot of ways they can hurt you. So yeah, I like Montreal. It's just, you just never know if that team's going to show up, because you know a lot of it's relying on what a 38-year-old striker, a veteran striker.
Yeah, who seems very much more inclined to be in Dubai these days than he does in Montreal. And if you're a 38-year-old striker who's pretty much done everything in his career, I totally get it. So. I don't know. Yeah, it was a weird weekend. I mean, I watched 90 minutes of a game on Sunday between DC and Red Bulls where one team completely and utterly dominated the other one, and then yet somehow United came out with a draw.
Which was fantastic.
And if you waited until about the 90th minute or so, the snapping in the stadium that you heard were all the pencils from all the writers who had just completely written the recap and had to change everything up at the last minute.
I know, right? I should feel more sympathy, but that was a major comeback. Did Ben have anything interesting to say afterwards?
He sounded very fortunate and happy. He basically said, we just kind of picked our spots, which did not set well with Bradley Wright Phillips, who said, well, why are you playing such a terrible... essentially said, why are you playing such a terrible style? Look, DC doesn't have the same sort of attacking capabilities as these other sides do, and without Acosta, they really don't have much. And the Birnbaum goal, he's been praised quite heavily this week for being one of the best players on set pieces, was great. And Nagel's goal was kind of, it was interesting. Nagel's goal bookended the original first goal for Red Bulls, which was both of them were like just cluster fucks in front of the goal. And just somebody like just knocked it in. So, you know, it was just a weird day, by the way.
Yeah.
Like, some of those saves that he made in the second half, I mean, the only other keepers I can think of that could be able to possibly do that would be Ospina, Neuer, guys of just incredible, playing for incredible sides. His ability to really just understand, like, timing and being able to make the just absolute perfect timing on a goal-scoring opportunity, I don't think we've ever really seen in this country. We've had really good technical goalkeepers, but we've never really had a goalkeeper that has that skill. And I hope somebody picks him up at some point, because I love him at DC. He's actually a really nice guy. But I feel like he's being wasted almost at MLS.
Wow. Well, he's battled back from injury, and he's back. And when's he out of contract?
Next season.
Really? Cool. That's amazing you know that, because, you know, the league never tells us anything. I understand he's a scratch Tegel player, too.
He's good. Yeah, he knows his way around a Stratego board there. It's always good to meet a board game fan. We don't play enough board games in this day and age, Matt. I don't know about you, but I would love to play more board games.
When you come over, we can play King of Tokyo. That game is awesome.
Ooh.
So much fun.
What about Risk?
You know, I like.
Is that not allowed in the Hoffman household?
Well, I prefer the computer version because that's a lot of armies to set up.
Hmm. Do the kids like playing Connect Four? Sorry. Uno? Are they card players? Like,
Most King of Tokyo. King of Tokyo is pretty.
King of Tokyo.
That's pretty much where it's at.
Jenga's too violent.
Yeah.
I could see you have the look in your eyes that like one of the kids will just like smash it at the other ones.
Exactly.
Or maybe
like, that's not the point of the game. I know, but it's fun.
Breaking things. Ah. Well. There's no real good comeback for that one. Yeah. Let's just talk about some expansion rules.
Yeah,
so, MLS. Yeah.
Hey-o.
Okay, for those of you who don't have a law degree or possibly a degree in, like, business management, this whole next section is going to be completely and utterly, like, a mess. Yeah. So, and I'm actually looking, pulling it up right now. So, Minnesota United and Atlanta United SC or FC? I always get that one confused.
I don't know.
All right, did I just throw you a stumper?
Yeah. Well, I mean, I could look. I can just go to Wikipedia.
Let's see here. Well, I'm learning the Minnesota United FC are having their deposits put up. That's
Atlanta
good.
Atlanta United FC.
You can... It's SC?
F, like Frank Foxtrot. Or football.
Or footy. Hey, there you go. So two teams are coming in next season. We are going to have an expansion draft. That was kind of being debated whether or not that was going to occur. And the league came up with these crazy rules, and I'm, again, pulling up right now, this is going to be great podcasting right here.
Yeah, well, a team gets promoted at the end of the season. You know, they have the players that they had last year. That's what happens everywhere in the world, except for the United States. Oh, I guess in Canada.
Mm-hmm. Well, so, okay. All right, the expansion priority draft will determine Atlanta United... Come on, spinny thing, go up here. Go, 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 go. Great podcasting here. Minnesota is going to be able to keep five of their players from the NASL side. Atlanta, obviously, has been signing players for themselves. The expansion draft will be held on Tuesday, December 13th at 2 p.m. and consists of five rounds, allowing Atlanta and Minnesota to select up to five players from the list of MLS players. And in advance of the draft, they're going to hold an expansion priority draft, a priority selection process used when more than one expansion club enters the league in the same season. I don't think this has happened before, so let's just go ahead and go with this. Ooh, a coin flip will decide which club, Atlanta United or Minnesota
draw?
United. No, they're doing that to the Africa Cup of Nations, which was like the only last blind draw I saw magically determine one team advancing over the other. Anyways, the expansion priority draft will determine Atlanta United and Minnesota United's FC selection ranking and the below six acquisition methods. Again, this is where having a business or law degree come in.
Mm-hmm.
The 2016 MLS expansion draft. The 2017 MLS super draft. Allocation ranking order. Waiver draft and re-entry draft ranking. Discovery player ranking. USL NASL player priority ranking. I don't know what that is. That sounds like... Some league, the NASL will probably be pissed off about that because that I don't know, man. it's two things. It makes me realize we have way too many drafts going on, and that if it's this complicated to be able to like pick players, perhaps maybe we have a bad system.
Perhaps. You think?
I don't know. Like. So, they're doing drafts, but then in addition, we're also going to be allowing them to sign players. I don't know. So, the last time we had this, we actually had a podcast at that time, although it was listened to probably by about 10 people in Kansas City.
Thanks, Mom.
And we literally tried to, like, we came up with this whole, like, who's going to pick who if you could do this? And then they ended up picking, like, I think it was Tommy McNamara got picked.
Oh,
and
that was the dispersal draft.
Yes, No, there was the dispersal draft, and then there was the expansion draft, because Tommy McNamara went to DC United, and then he got picked up in the expansion draft by NYCFC.
Oh, that's right. Thank you.
And it was just this whole maddening process where you had players literally being picked up, and then, like, somehow you got exempted. Like, LA got one player picked, and it was like just some random person there, like, nope, we're done. We're not going to get any other players. And then they had, like, I think there was San Jose got hosed and ended up, like, getting two of their top players, like, taken. So, Matt, do you have any thoughts on the expansion draft?
Well, I think the Timbers have been pretty good at this. Sometown Footy today had an article posted by, I want to make sure I get this right, it's Torchill. 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 And Bill Torch, I guess. Saying that noting that Chris Cloutier is on loan to Minnesota United, and hope that turns into an expansion draft pick. And that would not be kind of, you know, new waters for the Timbers. In their second year of existence, they loaned Ryan Poore out to Montreal in exchange to, an ultimate game to him in order to not be picked in the expansion draft. And then with Orlando, they used the amnesty clause to pay out some of Donovan Ricketts' contract so that Orlando would take him and thus protect Jorge Villafania, as Chris Reifer pointed out in Stumptown Footy back in the day. So, interesting things to go on there. I'm going to see who else does it. I'm wondering if that's kind of – it's those sorts of things why Major League Soccer has changed it, so it's only five rounds instead of ten as it was before.
Probably because they realize that these teams really aren't going to use many of these players. Like,
yeah.
I haven't gone back and looked at the OCSC NYCFC draft, but I would imagine most of those guys have either never played the game or moved onward. But I don't know. It's just the whole thing to me. It's like, I feel like there's a way to do this, or just let the player, like, the team sign players, and let's not, let's not just dump off like your less desirables on there, but. Matt, we got CCL action this week.
Indeed.
We've got matches again coming up on the weekend. Anything exciting to you that's catching your striking your fancy?
Well, as we mentioned before coming in here, in just a few minutes here, the Portland Timbers will be in Costa Rica to play Saprissa. But then they'll come back on Saturday afternoon to play the Philadelphia Union. Now, the Union are still in the thick of things. They're in, I think, fourth? I think they're in fourth, yeah, the Red Bulls, NYCFC, and Toronto. Now, they got a kind of a cushion between them and the next team, but, you know, they haven't really been winning as much as they have lately. But they do get two new players back, or I should say two old players back. Brian Carroll looks like he's going to go. And then Maurice Adu.
Hey!
Yeah, so the idea was that he went to the USL side to get some minutes. He was supposed to Curtin said in his press conference this week that the plan was to give him 60 minutes, maximum 75. He played 90. As his quote is, Mo talked his way into 90, and he showed well. I think it was important in his mind that he could go 90 minutes. He trained well over the last few weeks, so we'll have a discussion with him to see over the next few days to see what's best. So he could be playing against Portland. He might come on as a substitute. Well, we don't know. But, boy, if he comes in there and he kind of gets his form together and plays, you know, even as just a holding role, not even, you know, really going forward as much, but just, you know, really kind of locking down, protecting that back four, you know, because they got enough guys, like especially Rosenberry. He's so good about getting forward and getting up the field that you really don't need a dude to really be able to kind of do that. In fact, he might even be able to maybe as a third center back and kind of just go to like a, you know, 3-5-2 or something. That could really help them out because, you know, this team, you know, they're dangerous from the wings. They can score from the wings. But the problem is that they've been giving up goals. If they can lock that down, that's fantastic. And, you know, and having said that, they still have one of the best young keepers in Major League Soccer in Andre Lewis. It's going to be a
trap. Yeah. I think Andre Blake.
I'm sorry, you're right. Andre Lewis is the guy that went to the Cosmos.
I was going to say, is Andre Lewis also Dr. Dre?
Oh, you're right. He is.
Damn. Matt is thinking about Matt is thinking about some, you know, some early 90s rap right there.
I'm trying to express myself.
I'm looking forward to some CCL action this week. I haven't really had a chance to watch much of it, so it's been kind of off the periphery for me. But I think tonight, Saprissa-Portland could be a really good match. I think those at home who have not watched the Saprissa match in Costa Rica, you're in for a treat. Yes. It is one of the most hostile stadiums in the region to go to, but it's also they're some of the most passionate fans. So, Seattle Vancouver, really, I think that's an elimination game personally on Saturday between the two sides.
I mean, Seattle does have looks two games like, in hand, but
there's fleeting number of games coming up here, and I'd be curious. To see what their schedule is coming up. Montreal, New England, again, could be, that's playoff implications right there. There's a couple, I mean, Toronto Red Bulls is always going to be fun. By the way, that's going to be, for those of you trying to watch NFL and you're in like a blackout market, you're going to be watching that. So I'm sure if you hear the anger rage of Twitter, you'll know what it's for.
Go on.
And then Colorado San Jose. I think this could be Colorado. This is a big match for Colorado to be able to get 3 points and really put it to.
They only dressed like 16 players this weekend.
Well, that's because they're getting ready for this weekend upcoming, I suppose.
And they went into Dallas and beat Dallas, which was undefeated at home.
Dallas, meanwhile, gets to go to New York and play the legendary NYCFC at this point. So that actually, if you're going to be out, if you're not going to be out on Saturday night, that would be the match that. Actually, I think there's not really a bad match. Well, Orlando, Columbus. That'll be our like on the NBA calendar when like the Bucks play like the 76ers.
Oh, now come on. They got Ben Simmons, man. They got Nerlens Noel. Joel Embiid still isn't hurt yet. And then the Milwaukee Bucks collectively have a longer wingspan than the 747 Jet.
Giannis Antetokounmpo, who I'm sure the Greek national team is like, can you just come play goalkeeper for us?
That guy's awesome. Yeah. I'm kind of surprised. Have you seen the lineup just came out for the Timbers game? I mean, it's kind of weird. I think they, I don't think they did right, because they have Milano playing, protecting the back line and Szymanski out on the right wing. I'm pretty sure those are supposed to swap. But you know, they're playing Valeri, they're playing Audi, Steven Taylor's in the lineup.
Oh, no, second, you guys, you're right. Audi!
Audi, Boombaye. The bench is not, you know, some of the normal names aren't there. But, you know, Gleason starting goal, who's their normal starting goalkeeper. So, I mean, it's a pretty, you know, decent lineup, and it's on Facebook.
By the way, okay, so here's the rest of the Sounders schedule here. Home to Vancouver at LA. Oof. Home to Chicago Fire at Vancouver. Home to Dallas at FC Dallas. Home to Real Salt Lake. They're basically. They're banking on 6 points at those two home matches against Houston and Fire, and hopefully getting points against Vancouver somewhere, because I don't see them getting any points against LA. No. And RSL is one of those teams that can actually play pretty well on the road. So
I'm curious to see what happens if RSL played this weekend with Jaime Zalaive. I think that not having him there might have been the difference between a scoreless draw and a Timbers win.
Yeah, I think he's one of the most underrated players of the past 10 years, personally. Just the amount of his defensive work has been just exemplary for years, and he really doesn't get a lot of attention. I think we sometimes don't give attention to South American players because they're not U.S. men's national team players, or they're not factoring prominently for international teams. But he's been always somebody that I've really enjoyed and appreciated. Matt, before we go, we have 3 questions from a friend of ours.
The wonderful
Ms. Calicor.
Wonderful Jaime Zalaive booster.
And the columnist for the RSL Monday Morning center back, which all of you should be reading on Prost America, Miss Callie Corbis, as Matt mentioned. So she has three questions for us, Matt. First one for you. Does Matt have a Chivas USA neck tattoo?
I do not.
Does Matt do you have a Chivas USA tattoo anywhere?
Should I?
If DC United wins the MLS Cup, fans, we should we put out a poll to see if Matt should have a Chivas USA tattoo?
I'll take that under advisement.
Okay, we won't make you get a neck tattoo.
No, maybe you can get not a neck tattoo. I have to appear in court and stuff, dude. I have to work with clients.
Well, no, that's what I was saying. Not getting a neck tattoo.
Thank you.
Why are so many football players wearing Kate Gosselin hairstyles in 2016? To be frank, most of them are probably about 10 years behind the curve. The league isn't exactly known for being timely and responsive on new and exciting cutting trends, unless it involves, like, social media and, like, things that are weird and quirky. So, I don't know. I've seen enough man buns, though, personally, for a lifetime, Matt. I don't know about you, but...
I every time I hear this, like, what's to do about man buns, I'm just jealous. I say, if you got that hair, man, if you got it, flaunt it.
Would you get a man bun if you could?
Oh, I don't know. I don't know, man.
You have to appear in court?
I have to appear in court.
This is not the 90s. You cannot be like the Steven Seagal, like, smarmy bad guy in all his movies who's, like, wearing, like, the power suit with, like, the hair tied back.
One of seven actors banned from Saturday Night Live. Steven Seagal.
Who are the other six?
I don't know. I'll have to look them up.
Find the... If you know the answer to that question,
Costello,
please send it
back. But they re-let him in. They let him back in.
Is Chevy Chase banned?
I feel like there's been something. I feel like there's been at least one incident.
Who would win in a dance-off between Talon the Eagle and Leo the Lion? Notice she's saying Talon the Eagle, not Talon Donovan, who's still a baby.
Is Leo the Lion the Orlando?
Yes.
Isn't there like a mascot for RSL that's a lion?
I don't know. We need to do a mascot, like, NCAA tournament style poll.
There's been a series of films about this Leo the Lion. Leo the Lion, King of the Jungle, 1994 film. Leo the Lion is the mascot for Hollywood Film Studio, Metro, Goldwyn, MGM, basically.
Oh, yeah, it's the... But does Orlando City have a Leo the Lion?
I'm assuming that must be who it is. By the way, did you remember the intro to Strange Brew when, like, they're cranking the tail of the lion? And they're in the sets?
Yeah!
Hey, just give him a beer, eh?
Strange Brew! Do-do-do-do-do-do. And what's with Leo's dreads?
Yeah, I guess we need to look this up, so...
Yeah, okay, so this goes to show you how much we pay attention to the mascot.
RSL's Leo the Lion. Leo the Lion is an RSL icon.
Ah.
Which, of course,
well,
we do. Because it's Leonard. Oh, wow. Oh, what Leo can do. I'm looking at his official painter. Sean, did you know? Leo, below are just a few examples of what Leo can do for you at your next special occasion. He's available.
Woo!
He is available for corporate events. Leo can do birthday parties and weddings, corporate events, whether at the park or in a conference room. Leo will add fun, all caps, and excitement, also in all caps, to your next corporate gathering with an interactive appearance designed to entertain and inspire your staff. Leo will put a new and memorable twist on your regular meeting! ! Community events, parades, and festivals. Leogram. Want to shake some stuff in the office? Create the ultimate water cooler talk? Send Leo to your office, school, restaurant, or home to make a personalized visit for your next special occasion. Leo will turn the special someone's Valentine's Day, birthday, Mother's Day, Father's Day, anniversary, retirement, Grandparents' Day, bar mitzvah, to one they will never forget. Leograms include prizes, pictures, and autographed posters for all who are involved. School/club match. In-seat visits, school assemblies, holiday parties.
I want to get a Leogram. Want to shake things up at the office and create the ultimate water cooler talk? Send Leo to your office, school, restaurant, or home to make a personalized visit for the next special occasion. Leo will turn your special someone's. That's great editing right there. Valentine's Day, birthday, Mother's Day, Father's Day, anniversary, or retirement into one they will never forget. I want, like, Leo to show to my retirement. Hey, you're retired! It, like, pops out of, like, a ham or something like that.
Wow, that's...
You get, like, prizes and pictures and autographed posters for all who are involved. Can we get him to appear on our podcast? Like, why isn't it podcasts on here? Get Leo to appear on your podcast. He will instantly get you 300,000 more hits. And by doing so, your podcast will go up by 10 points, and therefore get advertising. Also, he will bring loads of fun to your next school assembly. I wonder if he'll do, like, one of the health ones, like, hepatitis is no fun, or... better make sure not to pick somebody else's boogers.
And does he know the hepatitis from personal experience?
Hey, keep your
relationship with RSL.
No, that's already kind of done. Hey, keep those paws out of somebody else's nose. Nobody likes paw boogers. How is he going to... inspire children to make a better future for themselves, whether it's promoting confidence, staying away from drugs and alcohol, or simply picking up a book more than the remote. Ooh! Leo is the right person to add to your upcoming holiday party. Photos, autographs, laughs, and hugs! Will be the old holiday cheer you're looking for. Can you get Leo drunk at your Christmas party?
Wow.
Leo is only contractually obligated to have one lemon spritzer per party.
Wow. I got nothing, man. That'd be fantastic.
You have to give 2 weeks notice for Leo to show up.
Oh, okay.
Let's see what the I want to see what the mascot reform request form is like.
Oh, yeah.
Appearances are an essential part of Salt Lake's community outreach efforts. It provides the team an opportunity to generate positive impact throughout the Salt Lake and surrounding communities. Except for when it comes to journalists, then we don't want them in the stands. Giving back to the community allows RSL to support a variety of organizations, which in turn can help those in need. If you're interested in having Leo the Lion participate, feel free to fill out the form below. All requests for Leo should be made at least with 2 weeks prior to your event. So you got to provide your name, your address, your organization name, the age of the attendees. Are you an RSL season ticket holder? Does that mean, like, if you're not, they're not going to, like, they'll put you at the bottom of the list? Be like,
no, yeah, he can attend just give you the intern.
Ah, so you won't actually get the Leo the Lion. You'll get, like, Ricky the Lion.
Yeah, his cousin, who hasn't really passed immigration yet.
Well, Matt, I'm fully out of hygiene.
Thank you. Thank you, Callie.
Callie, you literally saved the podcast. Going back to Callie is her name, with a K. Anyways, Matt, anything else you want to add before tonight's show ends?
Can't stop that, man. I'm scheduling my next corporate event. I'm finding out what the range is. Do you think they come out to Portland?
I hope they do. If they go to the MLS Cup, can we get him to host our keg party?
Oh my god, yeah.
Like, that would be a lot of fun, and I think certain founders of RSL, or certain founders of Prost America might even get a better kick out of that, but that's for another day and time. Well, thank you all for listening to Radio MLS. You can listen to us on Backpage Football, Prost America, SoundCloud, Stitcher, iTunes, the Podomatic page. Make sure to rate and subscribe to our show. Tell us what you like, what you think is great, what you hate, what you love. You can send us poetry if you want to. We accept candy grams. We also accept, you know, words of wisdom if you want. Anyway, you can find me at Sean Maslin. You can find Matt at M. Hoff. And thank you all for listening to Radio MLS, and enjoy the rest of your footy week.